In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your list when considering a luxury SUV? Inspired design and comfort, impressive performance. If so, the 2025 Lincoln Aviator SUV checks every box and then some. The Aviator offers an available 28-speaker sound system, perfect position front seats, best-in-class horsepower and torque, and much more. That makes the list of SUVs you're considering become much shorter. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary. Classes large crossover premium utility starting at MSRP under $150,000.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You are indeed in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. But it's also you involved when you get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. There's also the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. How you feeling, man? Like, it's been quite a day, great. Huh?
What a night, what a day. And just for the record, that Reggie Miller chokes. That might be my favorite one, just because it's just on a personal level, it's just awesome. It's great memories of being out there watching that one, and then of course watching it on TV last night. I'm feeling great, man.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about this? Because it feels like
no, I'm good, man.
Was watching that game live. Obviously, the fellas were just mentioning this, and it's just, I mean, I've had so much fun watching these playoffs, but not just these ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people were in the same situation I was watching this at a sports bar. The Stars also facing off in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, they were done, weren't they?
Some people might have thought that they were done. And in the NHL playoffs there, the Oilers in the Western Conference Finals there were up 3-1 going into the third period. And the Stars end up with a 6-3 victory. They had their own kind of comeback kids thing going. And they've been doing this in the same way that the Pacers have, in a similar way like the Knicks have. And that kind of got me to this question of like, who have been the real comeback kids of this playoff season? I got stats for you. But then the secondary portion of this, when I get you these stats, is have you thought about the fact that both of these teams, both of these places, like you look at the Dallas Stars, you look at the Indiana Pacers, and they are both from metropolises that Houston like hates for one reason or another. And as I was looking at this, I was like, do you have any hate in your heart for these? Or like, does this just exist separately from the hates that we typically have with Dallas and Indy?
Yeah, see, now Dallas hate is legitimate, first of all, and justified, in my view anyway. But the point you made there, to me, is where it is. Like, I don't want Dallas to have any fun, so I guess I don't want that to happen more. But it's really just a different category. It's hockey, man.
And that's the thing, right? Hockey. It feels like it would be an easy answer if you just go, Indy, I mean,
yeah.
It's not the Colts, right? The Colts are in your division. That's why you hate them.
Yeah.
The Pacers are not only in your division in basketball, they're in the other conference. Mm-hmm. You don't really have to think about them. But there's no – Dallas, it's not that they're playing hockey, you're not. It's that they're in Dallas,
yeah,
right?
That's the thing. If I had to pick one, I'd be like, yeah, no. No, not Dallas. We don't want you to have nice things.
But they have been phenomenal. I was just telling you, right? Like, that is a team that they came into that game – and they, you know, they end up down 3-1 going into the final period, and they do something that is like largely unusual, being the first team in Stanley Cup playoff history to earn like multiple wins, mind you, in regulation after being down 2+ goals in the third period in a single playoff year, including this one where they score 5 goals in a single period to end the game. Like, they were down two and they were like, that's not enough. I'm not, it's not just I'm coming back. I'm actually going to bury you by the time that this thing ends here.
Yeah.
And I found that to be wildly interesting. And it's not the first time. I think it's like probably the third time in my mind, mm-hmm. or maybe the second time that they've had these types of comebacks compared to the Pacers. Who, I mean, they've done this quite a bit as well, mm-hmm. through the playoffs. And then also the Knicks have done, I mean, they had a couple of 20-point comebacks against the Celtics in their run that's been kind of crazy. Who for you, taking those things in, and I give you more, like talking about the Pacers, they're now 1-970 because NBA teams before were 0-970 when down 14 or more points in the last 250 of regulation. Over the last 27 seasons, mm-hmm. obviously the Pacers break that. Since the 96-97 season, teams have trailed by 7-plus points in the final 50 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime are 4-172. Three of those wins are by the Indiana Pacers this season.
This year.
Right. Where are you looking at as the real comeback kids of this playoff season right now?
Well, it's got to be the Pacers. For that last stat that you just said alone, but the Knicks are right there. I mean, you're not wrong about that. Here's the thing about the Indiana Pacers, though. I'm not a Pacers fan, but I have some fond memories of covering those runs back in the day, and I'm really enjoying what they're doing this year. But another reason is, like, the Indiana Pacers and the Indianapolis Colts might as well be in two different cities as far as I'm concerned. Because the Colts are, like, you see them all the time. You play them all twice a year at least. You have a big history with them. Rivalry and all. Pacers are just like, you're just watching basketball.
Right? You
know? Yeah, it's just basketball.
But one thing I will say, though, is like sometimes, especially in basketball as a sport where we have moved even more towards mm-hmm. the individuals and the players being the faces of the things, the guys that we talk about, as opposed to kind of more the entity.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers do at least have a guy that you look at and you go, I genuinely hate that man. And it's a dude who I share a name with.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Reggie Miller.
I love Reggie Miller.
Okay, so you're in.
I love Reggie
I feel
Miller.
Like there's not really in-betweens when it comes to Reggie Miller as a player, right? We're not talking about Reggie Miller as a broadcaster. That's a whole different.
That's a whole different hate.
But Reggie Miller as a player exists in a place where it's either you loved his game
mm-hmm.
or you hated the way that he played. Like, he was one of the OG floppers, right? With that kick out when it came to shooting and drawing that foul.
Well, he kind of was a pioneer. You know, in terms of the flop like that on a jump shot.
100%.
And most flops have been on charges. But like,
absolutely.
You know, but in terms of like on a shot, I would venture to say he's a pioneer. Here's why I love Reggie Miller. Because me just being a basketball fan, just basketball in general, smooth, man. That dude is so smooth. He was, as a player, just silky smooth, beautiful shot, take it from anywhere. And oh, by the way, I love guys that can actually back it up. You know, like they talk. They gesture, as we're talking about, you know, here, and that'll be our question of the day, and backing it up. You know, I knew him a little bit just covering the games, but I'm not a big fan of him one way or the other. I just love that dude's game.
Yeah, and so I think this question comes up on the text line. I think this is one that's worth asking in this moment where with the Knicks is the NBA back, right? Like the theatrics of this particular postseason. That, I mean, last night was definitely a big thing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that it was the only thing by any means. And it's something that I've kind of been throwing out there, and it feels more and more the case, especially with the juxtaposition that we had last night between that Stars comeback and the Pacers comeback. It worked, and I saw the juxtaposition because literally it's on TVs right next to each mm-hmm. other. It's been NHL-ified where no game feels like, all right, well, this is done now and I can go to bed. I can turn this thing off. And I think that that's one of those things that the NBA had been losing of late or, you know, in the last, I don't know, decade or so as people felt mm-hmm. like, I know what's going to happen. I'm still not certain how much, like, I believe that that is something that actually turns everybody off
mm-hmm.
from this. But at the very least, if I'm to take people at their word to say that that is something that they disliked,
mm-hmm.
it seems like that is not really what the NBA has right now. They have this situation where at any given point, this game could switch up very, very quickly.
This has been just a wildly entertaining postseason. And is the NBA back? Let's see. Let's wait and see. Yeah, I think that's the right answer. It's wildly entertaining, as I said. You know, there's a little more star power, that familiarity, you know, not just LeBron and, oh, I hate this or I hate that or the game is this or that. It's getting there. Maybe that's a better answer. It's getting there. I don't know if it's there yet because you still have regular season. That's been a problem for viewership and fans. So let's see how that goes.
All right. So we talk about the clutch of it. I also want to give credit to Tyrese Halliburton, who is now 11 of 12 on shots to tie or take the lead in the last 2 minutes of a game this season.
That's ridiculous. That is just...
Like, he's becoming this guy.
Yes.
Is he still overrated to these players?
I have a feeling that if that because what you're referencing is The Athletic, or was it The Athletic? I believe it was The Athletic, did a player poll where they asked various questions, and one of the questions that they're in was, who is the most overrated player in the league? And of course, Tyrese Halliburton won that, and he's proceeded to bust everybody in Nate Keister all the way through.
The thing that's amazing about that stat you just said is, like, Kobe is supposed to be this killer, right? His numbers were good, but they weren't even close in the last 2 minutes.
You say that they were good.
Well,
if you go look at, like, the clutch numbers.
Like, good, like average, you know, but in terms of, like, the actual last 2 minutes clutch numbers, as you're talking about, it's just that he hit some really, really big ones that are memorable.
And now Tyrese has, like, a few of them.
He's got 11 out of 12.
Yeah, he's got, but that goes all the way to the regular
season.
Breaking
news, he's better than Kobe Bryant.
He's got a few of these that are coming through here in the postseason where, I mean, I guess ostensibly everybody is watching. And now he has it on, like, an Eastern Conference final stage. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very wild place to be for them. So, man, that has been fun. And then, of course, when I talk about, like, the comeback kid of it all, and I think you know, I'm leaning into the Pacers here as well. Like, I know Rantanen has had, like, multiple hat tricks in this way to try and get the Dallas Stars cool there, and that's all great. Like, even a natural hat trick, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Brother, did you see Aaron Nesmith? Are you familiar with the one Aaron Nesmith? You might not be if you're not a basketball sicko. Like, another one of the guys that they have out of that 2020 draft. 6 3-pointers in the fourth quarter in order to, like.
And that's another one of those hasn't happened in forever or ever. You know, the stats that's out there. Six.
Like, these are, and I hate to say it because it just came in on the text line. Somebody said it's better than James Harden. Yeah, man, James doesn't have, like, this amount of kind of, like, clutch moments. Sad to say, as good of a player as he is and was for, you know, for the Rockets in that time period, like, it is wild to look up and see that this is very, very different all the way around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so from the 8-3-2, it's been entertaining. They say, except for OKC. All right, where do you fall on this as we're talking about the
now
NBA playoffs?
What, you know, of all the teams, like Sean hates the Knicks. I don't want the Oklahoma City Thunder to get anything.
Okay, so, like, where does your hatred lie? Because, again,
probably there.
I started this segment because I was looking at this and I go, Houston hates Dallas inherently. Dallas hates Houston. Houston hates Dallas. It's just kind of how this is. We know what it is, right? We could take this to many different facets.
Yeah.
We're not going to see eye to eye. The Houston hates Indy for the fact of the Colts, right? And, of course, Peyton Manning being unreasonably good in a way that, you know, stood in the Texans' way. All right. But neither of those teams, it feels like, the Stars I was talking about earlier, but really the Pacers, have really risen to that level. So do you have a sports hate in this? Like, especially if you are watching, because it feels like when you're watching something, having somebody to hate helps.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And for you, is it really OKC?
It's OKC. I mean, there's nothing really to hate about any of these teams remaining, you know, including the hockey, which, like I said, I don't really care.
Sure,
it's almost like a different hemisphere. But the Pacers, I think it's a terrific story. Halliburton, of course, the comebacks, all that stuff we're talking about.
Rick Carlisle.
Oh, yeah, Rick Carlisle. The Knicks, I guess they would be number two, but I don't want Oklahoma City Thunder to have anything.
Are you here hating on the Knicks just because they're the Knicks? Is it the Knicks fans?
It's
Tom Thibodeau.
It's Tom Thibodeau.
It's the way that he goes about this, huh?
Yeah, it's Tom Thibodeau. That's the biggest reason I hate the Knicks.
He loved running his players into the ground.
Oh, what was that number that you were giving earlier?
So, I was thinking about this because I was like, how did we get to this point? And because the Knicks have been a very good defensive team this postseason. But one of the things that happened in that game, they were good defensively up until they weren't in the fourth quarter. And that's part of what allowed, you know, Aaron Nesmith to get off these crazy shots, at Tyrese Halliburton to have that step back almost three pointer to tie the game and allow him to get, you know, talk his talk in a way. They were, you know, you started seeing mental lapses from a team defensively that had been very good. You started seeing them not rise to the level on pick and rolls. You started seeing them miss kind of some assignments, allow things to happen in transition, things of that nature. And that, to me, points to fatigue, a fatigue that I will raise my hand and say I didn't think that they were going to have to deal with to the same extent this year, because I thought that they were better in depth. But depth don't matter if your coach won't use it.
Yeah.
And looking at the playoffs of the teams that remain, right, minutes per game, the top five guys, again, of the teams that remain in the playoffs in minutes per game, all of them are New York Knicks.
All five.
And so I do wonder if How do you believe more in that as being some level of precursor to what might happen in the rest of the series? Because this is just game one. Or do you then go to Tyrese Halliburton did the choke, right? That in reminiscence of Reggie Miller, who was in the building, which was kind of cool.
Pointing at him.
Right? Pointing at him. Do you then go back to that series? Remember that Reggie Miller and the Pacers lost that one?
They lost the series.
Yes.
And it was back. Yeah. No, they lost the series. But here's the difference with the Knicks in this case. You know, losing at home the way they did, now if you're going to get back in the series, you're talking 5, 6 games, 7 games, and they were already, you pointed this out, they were fatigued in the fourth quarter in game one after this big playoff run. And that's why I don't like the Knicks, because of Thibodeau and what he's doing.
All right, so the 8-3-2, hate the Knicks because of Oakley and Anthony Mason. Oh, you go all the way there.
Yeah.
7-1-3, I don't. It's not that I hate OKC. They're just so boring. Reminds me of San Antonio. In your face, Lopez. Because I think he's just talking about the city. I don't think he's just talking about the Spurs. I think he means the city as a whole.
I don't care for the city like that. I actually like the team a little bit, OKC.
Oh, yeah?
Just off the strength of they draft so well, and I feel like that's probably
who are the people that go, I love this team because of their draft acumen.
No, I'm just saying,
be for real right now.
They didn't go out to try to get LeBron, Paul George, and James Harden on one team.
No, that's fair.
They build from the ground up. They stay low and build.
No, that's
so I kind of like seeing that, man, because I hate the
but
big.
We're talking group. About like guttural instincts, like just your feeling. No, I get it.
I kind of like how they got so far like this without trying to trade a million first round picks for Giannis or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said SGA is a free throw merchant, which is ironic because I supported Harden. Plus, they're just corny. I hear you.
It's funny when they're on the other side.
I hear you on some level of corny. There's actually stats to indicate that he is not even close to being like the free throw merchant that we claim him to be.
He's just really good at flopping. Like, he's good at it.
The body, and that's one of the things that's tough, is because it puts me at odds with the people who are like really frustrated with him when it comes to that. Because yes, I don't think anybody loves the idea of like, hey, getting out here, working the system.
Yeah, but he's good at it.
The fact that he has the level of body control that he does is wild to me.
Like, there was a good play last night where he hit the guy and got the call. Like, he hit.
Oh no, and I believe it was Nikhil Alexander Walker, who is his cousin.
Yeah.
So like, this is not only just like a level of crime against the game. This is family crime. They gonna talk about this at Thanksgiving. I bet he called his auntie like, auntie, your son out here tripping. But yes, a very, very fun like playoff season, because all sorts of comebacks both in the NBA and NHL. Tap in, man. It's been very fun. But yeah, I'm interested in the sports hate as well. And kind of intrigued that people are here for this Pacers thing. We'll see how that keeps going right here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Astros had a day game yesterday, and unfortunately it was not a good one. They get away from Tampa, but they lose that series after the 8-4 loss. So they're back in Houston playing against the Seattle Mariners. We know that there's another pitcher that is possibly maybe veering towards an IL stint. So all of that comes together, and I have to ask, what are your expectations, or have rather your expectations for the Astros changed at this point? And what are they exactly? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your list when considering a luxury SUV? Inspired design and comfort? Impressive performance? If so, the 2025 Lincoln Aviator SUV checks every box and then some. The Aviator offers an available 28-speaker sound system, perfect position front seats, best-in-class horsepower and torque, and much more. That makes the list of SUVs you're considering become much shorter. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary. Class is large crossover premium utility starting at MSRP under $150,000.
Amazon has everything for every kind of birthday. Whether that's a three-tier cake stand,
happy birthday!
Comet balloons for your son's space theme party.
Happy birthday!
Or gifts like a karaoke machine for that friend who never stops singing.
Happy birthday to you!
From cake stands to karaoke machines. Shop everything for every party on Amazon.
Happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Have your expectations of what to expect. Have your expectations of the Astros changed this year? And what are they exactly? 713-572-4610.
Got to answer.
You have an answer?
I said you got to answer.
You have to answer. Got you. Okay.
713-572-4610. You got to answer. Have your expectations changed? We know what the expectations were. You know, you're going to, even coming into this year, we were talking about it. You know, you're going to win the division. Didn't we all pick them to win the division, right?
Yeah.
Get into the postseason, and then who knows? You're the Astros.
Try and make a little bit of money.
And then, you're the Astros. Have they changed? Like, what do you think this team is going to do?
That's a really good question, and I think that, you know, especially with the Astros, I have tried to play this on hope mode more than anything, because, I mean, there's been some tough paths or tough, like, ways to see the path forward, or at least a very relatively narrow path to see forward, and it's gotten a little bit narrower as you've namely dealt with injuries, but also you've had kind of some slow starts from guys. But it's tough to then look at the kind of adversity that this team has gone through and then still see that they are playing above 500 baseball to this point and say that I am in a place now where I'm, like, throwing it all away, like the expectations that I have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, making the postseason still remains the expectation in some ways because it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're in a place where you go and, well, now this is all cooked. And, I mean, a couple months in the season and you go, all right, well, then throw this away. Especially also because if we're talking about the pitching being – some level of mitigating factor, which, I mean, it might be, right? Ronald Blanco, you know, he is here in Houston. We haven't heard exactly the fallout of this, and I imagine that we probably start to get that ahead of tonight's opener for the four-game set versus the Mariners. But, like, if he goes on the IL or what have you there, we know that you don't have a lot of pitchers that I think you feel great about. However, this is the talking about the injuries. We know that there's also dudes that maybe could make their way back. And yes, I know this is going to feel a lot like last year where we're like, all right, when will this person come back and be able to help you reinforcement wise? But there's a lot of them, right? There's a lot of those dudes that you're looking at there that you go, hey, is Christian Javier going to make his way back? Is JP France going to make his way back? Like, Luis Garcia, is he going to make his way back? And I think that with those, with the idea that you just kind of found ways to make some things shake, with the idea that Hunter Brown has been fantastic outside of that day game yesterday, I think that you can do enough. And also with the idea that I look around the AL West and I don't see no world beaters, even as the Mariners maybe open this up, like, I think that you can get yourself to a place where you can hold on, get yourself some relief here and still make that expectation happen. Like, I think that's where I am.
Yeah, see, I think, you know, the reason I wanted to ask that question is because I think there's reason on both sides. You mentioned something, you know, kind of the hope that you might have. I'm with you. I think there is reason for hope. You know, you've got some guys that are overperforming what you expected. You're just not getting the guys that you expected. You know, Isak Paredes and Myers, Pena was kind of like, let's hope, you know, that that we get the real one. Those guys are exceeding expectations. And then, of course, Yordan is out. Altuve has been mostly down lately. So if those guys find their level, there's a big piece of hope right there. The other thing I think that is that has shown itself, not yesterday by any stretch, but in a lot of games, they've come up late in games. You know, they've made some clutch, have had some clutch at bats. The other thing, if you can get to the eighth inning and your bullpen is rested, you're probably going to win that game with Abreu and Hader. You know, the odds are you're going to win it. So there's reason for hope there. There's also this, and I don't know how many people, you know, knew this. First of all, they didn't know this part. You're playing the Mariners. You're 3.5 games back. It's a 4-game series, right?
Yes.
So, hey, win 3 out of 4. Get greedy, win 4 out of 4. All of a sudden, you're right there. But the other thing that I like is after this series, 19 of your next 25 games are against teams with losing records.
Yeah.
19 out of 25 games after this series, you're playing an array of White Sox and Rays and Angels and Pirates. So, you know, if you make a
man,
little...
Man, you really put some extra sauce on that Pirates.
The anyway, Pirates. They're awful. They're so bad.
I hear you. They're not good.
Yeah.
But I can't say anybody is awful in that same tone
and not
when I'm looking
the
at
Rockies.
The Rockies. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Rockies.
The Rockies
and they're about to be historically bad.
They're historic.
Like, yeah. I feel like they've been so bad that they are I have to direct more energy towards them away from some of these other teams that are
But
bad.
Make a little move here, even splitting. And then 19 out of 25 games against teams with losing records.
Including the fact that, like, starting tonight, you have a 10 game homestand here as well. Like, maybe that gives you an opportunity to jumpstart this a little bit. But yeah, man. I think I also exist with the level of hope because, like you mentioned, there's been guys who have just not been able to produce, and maybe, you know, Yordan, this IL stint continues to extend, there is a little bit of tugging at my collar, but when he does make it back, because he will make it back, right? And I'm just going to put that into the ether. Don't hit me with don't do that. I don't want it. There's no way that he continues to be the Yordan of the first part of the season all the
way
through.
If he's healthy, yeah, there's no way, right?
Right. And so I'm still in that place where I think I'm a little bit aligned with the 361 here who goes 88 wins, wild card spot maybe, and they go out in the second round, and that's probably fair, but I think the idea is if you get yourself into the dance, as with anything in American sports, get yourself into the dance, give yourself an opportunity, especially, again, pointing to the idea that if you're going 1-2 punches pitching-wise, you do feel good about that starting-wise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there is reason for hope. I just laid it out. You just laid it out. Now let's talk about... Maybe those expectations are too lofty.
They might.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your list when considering a luxury SUV? Inspired design and comfort? Impressive performance? If so, the 2025 Lincoln Aviator SUV checks every box and then some. The Aviator offers an available 28-speaker sound system, perfect position front seats, best-in-class horsepower and torque, and much more. That makes the list of SUVs you're considering become much shorter. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary. Class is large crossover premium utility starting at MSRP under $150,000.
Amazon has everything for every kind of birthday. Whether that's a three-tier cake stand,
happy birthday!
Comet balloons for your son's space theme party, or gifts like a karaoke machine for that friend who never stops singing.
Happy birthday to you!
From cake stands to karaoke machines, shop everything for every party on Amazon.
They very well could be. Because again, I'm talking about hope, and you cannot depend. Hope is not a plan.
Yeah, I was thinking about even the wild card spot, man, because it's easy to say they could grab one of the wild card spots. But you got to look around in the other divisions and see what they doing.
Yeah.
Because you might have a team that's over 90-some, about 90-some wins, that's second in the division or something like that. So I think you kind of got to look around because we benefited off of being in a weaker division.
100%.
Yeah.
So the wild card, I don't think that's all roses right there.
No, it's not. But it's worth noting that you're in a, as bad as it feels at this point, you're in a significantly better spot than you were last year. But then also on top of that is...
But it's kind of the division too, man.
No, for sure, right? Yeah. Last year you had to win through division. There wasn't no wild cards there.
Yeah.
Just looking at it right now, and of course, we're very far away from this being the heart of it. Astros are a game and a half out of wild card right now, this moment. And that's considering that the Guardians are that last spot in. And their run differential, not that it's the end-all be-all by any means, is a negative 17 compared to the Astros plus 16.
Yeah.
An Astros team that isn't a great offensive team, right? If you're looking at that as some level of will this regress to the mean, that in some ways would give you some idea that they might hop over. The Royals themselves as well, who are a game, or actually two games ahead of you at this moment. Again, what does this mean in the long run? Not a ton, but just to give you an idea of the landscape, their run differential is a plus 4, which again, the Astros end up being better. Just to put the idea that at this juncture with the way that the Astros have played, and I imagine a lot of us would look at that as not to the point where I think even the expectation of, decent here for the Astros, they still have been kind of performing in a way where there are arguments to be made that they could be a wild card spot right now.
And you play the Guardians in this 25 game stretch. They're one of the two teams that have a winning record. So you could make some hay against the Mariners, make some hay against the Guardians. It's early, but still, that's out there. But here are the things that sort of make you want to think about changing your expectations with the Astros.
To the positive or to the negative?
To the negative. We've talked about all the positive. They had 25 strikeouts the last two games.
Yeah, man.
25 strikeouts. And the thing that really gets to me with this squad, and you know it's been a sore spot with me all year long, this is a really good defensive Astros team, better in the infield. In the infield, it's a better defensive team than I expected.
Sure.
But the catcher is in the infield.
He is?
The catcher, they gave up 10 stolen bases against the Rays. 10. They're so bad.
Yeah. And we thought Jose Altuve was going to be the mark.
Oh my on this gosh. Team. As soon as you
Yeah, we're off- talking about running. Yeah. Well, when that ball gets to the outfield, they're like, why does he got to get to the outfield? Let's get this base right now.
Nah, he ain't the mark.
Singles or doubles, doubles or triples. I mean,
that's the real nasty one, right? Like stealing second is one thing. These dudes that are out here stealing third
like three times in the last 2 days.
Double steals and all that.
Yes. Like a single is a double against these catchers. That is a very big problem.
All right, so the thing that I'll ask you as I continue to try and find places for hope, and I understand, like, I'm playing devil's advocate at this moment. You could put the sash on me or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that this team will typically do is if they are within reason, they will push at the trade deadline or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Assume, like, does this feel like a time period where they push? Because I'm seeing people, as we're talking about expectations for the Astros, saying, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are getting to a place where this is a closing of the window, and they have emotionally gotten themselves prepared for that on May 22nd of 2025. Right?
Yeah.
Do you see a situation where maybe they get to the trade deadline and they go, okay, do we push and accentuate because we want to pry that
window
open?
Depends on where they are. It absolutely depends on their. They're not afraid to do it.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to do it.
They did it last year.
Paul Skeens, baby.
Oh, what are you doing? I don't think you have the cap. Not, I don't think you don't have what you need to get him. Like, I don't see that at all.
Come on.
And then on top of that, you get Paul Skeens. Is this organization willing to pay him?
Yeah, exactly.
Is the question that I would ask. And I don't know if I have a good answer or at least one that I like that comes off of the back of that. But yeah, the Astros get going tonight as they start a 4-game set against the Mariners. Lance McCullers on the mound. Mm-hmm. As opposing George Kirby. He is coming off the IL, though, so we'll see what that ultimately looks like. But now, at least even for me, even to make my standard for the 17-game set, need to get three of these things. And so, at least the team that is pacing the AL West at this point, the Seattle Mariners. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. In honor of Tyrese Haliburton channeling his inner Reggie Miller to take the game to overtime and ultimately win game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, what are some of your favorite iconic gestures in sports history and maybe in real life? 713-572-4610. Middle fingers to everybody. We'll do it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to our question of the day, inspired by what was an incredible game-tying step-back shot in the waning moments of Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 by Tyrese Haliburton. What, for you, are your favorite? What are some of the most iconic gestures in sports history and maybe some ones in real life? 713-572-4610. And I got to say, and this is not confessions, but I do have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
The step-back from Haliburton where he immediately goes and it gives you the tried and true Pacers Knicks Reggie Miller to Spike Lee choke gesture. I kind of disliked it.
What?
I kind of disliked
it. I loved it.
I kind of disliked it. And here's why. I appreciate in that moment having the exuberance. I love like a player creating a moment. Like we think of these moments in that way, right? One of them ones that's immediately coming in on the text line. Mario Ellie, kiss of death, right?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to say is those three words, kiss of death. Yeah. And people are transported to that time, to that moment, all of that. The reason why I kind of disliked Haliburton doing this, though, is it feels like it's this kind of cultural thing that we're in where dudes are trying so hard to recreate moments of the past instead of just creating their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you have that. And it's a little bit different because Reggie Miller's there. It's almost a little bit of an homage. But Haliburton in the post game was talking about how, you know, guys have been trying to get him to do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And so he finally had the moment. And then he said that he wouldn't have done it if he had realized it was a two rather than a three. But that also made me think of, you remember last year when the Boston Celtics won the championship?
Yeah.
Jason Tatum is a huge Kobe Bryant guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, when he gets his moment with the Larry O'Brien trophy, he's sitting there and he's trying to recreate that picture of Kobe Bryant hugging the trophy. And I'm like, dog, have your moment instead of trying so hard to make this picture right now.
I was thinking about the other moment he tried to do. He tried to create the Kevin Garnett moment.
He did try and recreate that.
He tried to, we did it. We did it. Like, nah, that's not it, bro.
Now, those are contrived. I think the Haliburton one was completely different. It was
I don't know.
It wasn't homage.
I don't know,
but
dog.
To me, the homage to Reggie is a good thing. Like that's cool. Like he's tipping his cap to a legend, you know, in that building, just in that moment, that kind of thing. That's different than you have time to think about it. So I'm going to hug the trophy and all. And yeah. To me, it was awesome.
To me, I liked it a lot because it just seemed like it was part of the script.
Yes.
Because the Pacers are playing the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Miller is the commentator on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Reggie Miller do against the Knicks?
Yep, that.
Yep. And what did Tyrese do against the Knicks in front of Spike Lee?
That.
Yeah, and then he did it in real time too. It wasn't like after the game or something.
Yeah, it was. That's what I liked about it.
He did
that's
it in the moment.
Can I hate a little bit more, real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I feel like the facial expression also kind of the whole idea of the choking jester is cool, calm, collected assassin Reggie Miller looking at you and going
That part
I just did that.
That part I didn't like.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyrese was out here like he amazed. Looked like, he's like, oh,
he looked like he was getting choked for real, like somebody is choking them to death.
I thought that was a
he looked
hat.
Like he was choking on a chicken bone.
I thought that was a lot different than the other two you mentioned because that was a hat tip, man. That was like Look what I did. Same place.
And we were already talking about Pacers and Knicks, like just the history of it.
Yeah, and the fact that
then that happened. Thing.
So anyway,
I bet Adam Silver enjoyed it because it did harken back to the 90s, and if it restored the feeling at all, that there's a lot of basketball fans that are like, okay, I'm in. Yeah, I'm alive. Yeah. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. I just wish it was for game, though, man. Yeah. I wish it was just a three. I wish his foot wasn't on the line. It should have been for game. That would have been so much better.
Although, here's the thing. If, seeing as they ultimately won it, we just going to remember it like it was for game.
Yeah,
like,
no, we're just gonna, it worked, no, it worked out good.
We're going to memory hole it. That's cool.
It would have really sucked if they lost.
It's like the USA hockey. People think that was for the gold medal. It wasn't.
Yeah, it's all good. That ain't no problem. In my mind, it was.
They think the Pacers won that series against the Knicks. They didn't.
They sure as hell didn't. They sure as hell didn't. So what are the gestures for you? Because some great ones coming in. Obviously, some ones that tie in. I mentioned the kiss of death. Another one, Dikembe Mutombo. No, no, no. That finger wag. Classic.
That's hard to even do the way he did it. The way it's just on the lever, you know.
Yeah, like it's like that. From the knuckles. Yeah, he's not moving his whole finger, rear, man. He sure did.
It's just going like that. A lot of people, and I said this initially, like the tiger, you know,
the fist bump.
Fist into the air, you know, the kind of upswing or uppercut. I like the point. I like when Tiger would point at the ball as it's going in. I've done that. I've done that playing with my son's golf. Like, I'm just pointing down. Obviously, you know, Sean said
I always think of it as Degeneration X, right? Because it's the wrestle. But it became a place where, I don't know, Figgy, when you were in school, did you get in trouble for doing that at
100%,
school? 100%. I feel like every kid that was in school in that general
teacher called my mama for doing that.
Little boys is out here getting in trouble.
It was part of wrestling, ma.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one. And I really, you know, the Jordan shrug, people have emulated that.
100%.
You know, I don't know, I'm just really, really good. I mean, yeah, it's just going in. I like the Usain Bolt, the lightning bolt.
That one really is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, it really makes it greater when you have an incredible performance with it. But sometimes it's beautiful just on its own. Like somebody brought up the Sam Cassell, the big balls dance.
Oh boy! Well, that
just
you can't get away with that one now. That's for
who
you.
Said? And who some, said and you some, can make that shake?
And some that you hate. Because there's some that, you know, we were talking about some of those
stuff. I hate the Steph Curry chewing the mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Just the mouthpiece hanging out his mouth after making the three from like half court. I hate that.
All right, so power rank the Steph Curry responses. The night-night, right? Like laying, putting people to bed. Just the turn before the shot goes down.
Yeah.
Or the mouthpiece.
I think mouthpiece is last in terms of popularity. I kind of like the night-night.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Like, all right,
I like the turnaround before the shot hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably number one on my list of likes, and then the night-night, and then the mouthpiece.
What about, like, when someone makes a tackle and starts nodding their head, and it's 9 yards, 10 yards downfield? Like, I got him, you know, nodding their head or celebrating, and it was a 10-yard gain. You know, I'm like, come on, man.
I like the first down. I think Nico and Tank Dell do this.
The twirl before they point first down.
Yeah.
Don't let Clint hear you say that. He is real sick. The thing I will appreciate about that one, though, is they looked up and they were like, oh, all these people getting penalized? No, no, no. We will find one that does not incur penalty.
Mm-hmm.
We will celebrate, but also in a fair way that does not bring laundry onto the playing surface.
Wait till somebody say, oh, that's a gun figure.
You know, one of my favorite ones all time that hasn't been mentioned, at least that I haven't seen yet, is in the spur of the moment. Pointing at the watch.
And that's why I want for Tyrese. I want him to have like a thing, man. Like, pave your own path here. Be your own man, right? Like, I get it. There's a level of respect being paid to Reggie. But also, you done this 11 out of 12 opportunities this season, boy. If you don't find yourself your own little gesture at this point.
What about, y'all remember with Gilbert Arenas after the whole situation in the locker room?
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the little circle.
Well, when he had guns in the locker room with his teammate?
Yeah, and he started doing the gun celebration with his teammates.
How do we feel about the too small?
He too little. It's incredible. It is. I'll take that every time. Primetime high step. Incredible. Maybe one of my favorites. Somebody said, oh, well, not the Curry shimmy. The Marshawn Lynch holding his junk, diving backwards into the end.
Oh, yeah.
That is incredible.
Talk about spur of the moment.
Well, I don't know how he wanted to do that every single time. Like, that was very much a, like, if they penalize it, I get it, because he was doing that intentionally towards his opponents, letting them know, you cannot hold this right here that I'm placing my hand upon. Someone else from the text line, 832, the Harden nosebleed check. There's Or you can get the, you know, somebody said they don't like the Russ rockabye, little, you know, putting people to sleep.
Yeah.
The baby. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Harden cook, let him chef Harden.
I like that one.
What about the John Morant? They're throwing a grenade and
I can't support this. I can't support. And here's the thing.
If it wasn't him doing that, I would like that.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
I think that's kind of cool, but he just got a rap sheet, man.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not about, like, I'm not going to, you know, moralize about the people that are like, oh, man, you out here doing the guns thing. You can't be doing guns thing. I think that that's a little overwrought. However, for John Morant.
It's him.
Why are you thumbing your nose at authority like this, dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have lost how many games, how much money
from
missing games just because, like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you've been wronged on this. You feel like you ain't do nothing wrong. All right, I get you. However, when authority comes through and be like, hey, dog, you might not want to do this. And you're like, okay, don't then show up. Don't show up your boss.
Let me throw some grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't show up your boss here. Like, you don't have to do that.
A couple of gestures that I don't like, and actually I kind of liked it at first, was the dab. But it ran its course way too far.
Oh, yeah.
It ran its course.
Once he started doing it, it was over at that point.
Who, Cam?
Yeah.
But then you had little leaguers doing it and all this other stuff. You remember Jeff Hornacek? At the free throw line, wiping.
Oh, I do not remember that, actually.
You don't remember wiping his brow before every free throw? Oh, my God.
Oh, somebody said Yuli going to Yu Darvish. Did you like it or not like it? I feel like you need to put more specificity there.
Oh, God.
Conor McGregor walk. Yeah, that one took over for a while now, didn't it?
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a real good one.
How much? I think I kind of hate it because I don't like Conor McGregor that much.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of how that goes.
What
I
about
think
the Vince
walk
McMahon?
Is actually good.
Mm-hmm. The Vince McMahon walk.
Oh, yeah. The arms.
And that's, you know what? Okay. So that's interesting because I did like that even though I don't like Vince McMahon as a human being. I don't know why I have this.
And it's kind of the same guy. Huh. Same thing.
That really is.
Yeah.
It really is. But if I'm talking about Cam Newton, the Superman has to be it.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
Like I didn't mind that.
Shirt, I like that one.
But I didn't like the dab.
Opening up the shirt was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know. What are your other ones? Somebody said Deion had a whole bunch of them. Now we're getting into all the rituals at the free throw line or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody was talking about, what was it? The KD shimmy before he takes his free throws.
Four fingers out.
Oh, yes.
Four fingers out.
Man, these are the things that
should've walked me.
These are the things that absolutely make sports.
Like I said, you can have a whole conversation with the gestures in sports and know exactly what's what. Yeah.
And I think, again, these are the things that they bring, like they are the garnish on top of the incredible sports moment. And I think that's why I keep clamoring. Tyrese, if you're listening to Sports Radio 610 right this moment, that was cool. Next time, because I do think there will be a next time, because apparently this is just what you do. Let's find something.
I can't believe you.
Let's
I
find
loved
something,
it.
Brother.
Loved it. Loved
let's
it.
Let's find something.
Yeah.
Somebody said the slime season was okay until it wasn't. I still think I'm okay with it. Oh, and I found the one that I hate. Thank you, dear Texas, for helping me out here from the 512. The Duke floor slap. Slapping the floor before y'all play defense? Okay. All right. Try hard. Why not try harder? There you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Keep those coming in. Somebody said the Ernest Gibbons electric slide. There you go.
Yeah.
Keep those coming in as we continue going here on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, we got to go around the NFL, where obviously big news that happened last night. The Indianapolis Colts owner, Jim Irsay, passed. We'll talk a little bit about that and more next.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your list when considering a luxury SUV? Inspired design and comfort, impressive performance. If so, the 2025 Lincoln Aviator SUV checks every box and then some. The Aviator offers an available 28-speaker sound system, perfect position front seats, best-in-class horsepower and torque, and much more. That makes the list of SUVs you're considering become much shorter. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary. Class is large crossover premium utility starting at MSRP under $150,000.
Amazon has everything for every kind of birthday. Whether that's a three-tier cake stand,
happy birthday!
Comet balloons for your son's space theme party, or gifts like a karaoke machine for that friend who never stops singing.
Happy birthday to you!
From cake stands to karaoke machines, shop everything for every party on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.